And so I'm going to be just asking them a couple of questions. And Wayne, since you're, well, no, let's start with Don. Let's start with the earliest serving president. So Don, we heard your story last night about how you came to be Eden Valley president. So I'm not going to ask you how because we already heard. So when you came, you were involved with Eden Valley off and on. What kind of vision did you have for Eden Valley?
I guess the vision that I had for Eden Valley was much like what I had grown up with as a child and onward through my college years and into my more service-oriented years. And that was to serve the Lord, especially around the world as he opened up opportunities and providences.
So you traveled quite a bit, because by then Eden Valley had established work around the world. So what were some of the places that you traveled to and helped to raise them up?
Well, one of the first places, even before I came to Eden Valley, was to get acquainted with our South American work. And I was able to visit Venezuela, our little project in Bonanza that I'm not even sure is it's still working, but it was very active at that time. And we went to Colombia and saw Canaan Institute and attended their conventions and were very impressed with the Lord's leading and guidance in the relationships that they sustained with the conference, so much so that the conference president told me that they didn't even want to hold a evangelistic series without having the ground prepared, first of all, by the students who had trained at Canaan, because they were good at getting the work started and doing Bible studies ahead of time and cooking classes and different things that we all are familiar with that help to promote the work in the field. And so it started in South America, and then the next phase was going over toward the Orient and especially working in China and seeing how the work was going forward with the Wiebes, Dr. Wiebe, with Hugh Kim, with Peter Luchek, and others of our missionaries that were trained right here at Eden Valley. In fact, we're staying in the China home, it was called back then, right now where some of us are staying. And so it was a real experience and a thrill to be able to see and visit in those sometimes home churches where you had to quietly slip into the church one at a time over a period of time. It wasn't even a church, it was somebody's home. But because of the restrictions and the difficulty of work in China, we had to be very careful. But that was the first, and I could go on from there with many other experiences that really brought me into the real reason why I came to Eden Valley, was to assist in the Eden Valley Mission Outreach programs.
So our worldwide family, because all those institutions that Eden Valley established are our daughters. And so you kind of helped to raise them during your time.
Yes, and as I shared, and I'll just mention it again here this morning since some weren't here, but I counted up in the 8 or 10 years that I was especially involved as president, I counted over 35 countries that we were working with or had entry into in different projects.
Amen. Now, part of our theme is 60 years of faith ventures. What is the most memorable faith experience that you had while you were here?
Well, I was going to say something else, but then you said that last phrase, while you were here. Because I was sent by Eden Valley or asked to assist Eden Valley in starting the work in Japan. And that has to be my most memorable experience and one of the highlights that I'm continuing to participate in, and that's with Mount Akagi Institute. We showed you the video yesterday, or I guess it was the first night, Thursday night, and it's just an ongoing dramatic blessing to us to see how God is opening the way for the work to go forward and for new people to be joining the work and for opportunities to serve there. But our 4 years in Japan was one of the best years of my life with our family there, being able to raise up this little institution that had actually started 30 years before that by Madison College. So it was a real pioneering institution to begin with. And then we re-pioneered it because it had fallen in disrepair and kind of neglect for 30 years, almost 30 years. And it was a real blessing to see the houses come up and being built by donations of people who gave through Eden Valley, through its leadership, and encouraged the development of Mount Akagi Institute to the point where it's really been a blessing today to many people in Japan.
Amen. Thank you for sharing. Next person who served as president was Wayne Atwood. And I was at that board meeting when we gave Wayne a call. And I remember thinking, but he's only 25. And he just got married. Tell us why you came or how you came.
Yeah, so my wife and I got married on August 1st of 1999. And so the board meeting met, I guess, in September of that year, October perhaps. So we had just gotten married, and it came as a complete surprise to us. It wasn't on our radar at all. We didn't expect. We had never seen Eden Valley, never visited Eden Valley. And so when the board asked us to consider coming out, we wanted to visit and see what Eden Valley was like, because we had no mental picture at all as to what it was like. So I remember when we came out, it was we really enjoyed meeting the team. They were so welcoming. And we had a meeting where all the staff met together and we discussed. And I remember that meeting. You know, I was only 25 years old, didn't have much life experience yet. And most people were very welcoming, but some people were really, you know, kind of asking very difficult questions about my qualifications and whether, you know, I would be able to lead in an institution like this. And I didn't really know what to say, but I just said, well, actually, you know, I didn't ask to lead out in an institution like this. And so, you know, we felt very unprepared but at the same time, we felt that there was a family that was welcoming us and that by God's grace and through His power, we would be able to work together. And so after my wife and I prayed about it and we considered it for some time, we accepted the call and we moved out here. And I want to say something also about the beautiful experience of arriving. And Don was here on campus, and Don had just welcomed us so, you know, Don's the same age as my father. In fact, they've known each other for a long time. And Don was so welcoming. He had been the president right before we came. And I just think that a lot of times there's a sentiment in self-supporting work that, you know, former presidents shouldn't stay on campus when new presidents come in. And there may be cases where that's the case, but my experience was very different. I really appreciated his welcoming us with open arms. I think that we actually played very different roles as well during our time as president, because Don worked very much with the foreign missions that were starting all over. And when we came, there was kind of a sense that there was a need to focus on our team and to try to draw closer together as a family. And so we really worked a lot with the team that was here, and that was such a blessing to just see how, you know, through studying God's word together, through classes, through dialogue, and through, you know, the committees were just really very uplifting and positive. And that was something that for a young person like my wife and I, and also my wife was very much welcomed with open arms. She was my secretary, worked together with us. And, you know, we were, like Lisa said, it was kind of our honeymoon here with lots of challenges. You're adjusting as a couple, and you're adjusting in many other ways as well, and new responsibilities. And so for us, we really it really solidified us in our Christian walk. We needed to make sure that we were strong spiritually because of our heavy responsibilities, and being able to teach many classes and have staff meetings once a week and everything really helped us in the beginning of our Christian walk to really set a foundation to be dedicated to God and to walk with Him. And I think that that's so pivotal for young people that maybe don't know exactly what the future is for them, to be able to give young people responsibility when it's possible and trust them even though we know that they will make mistakes. That was something that was very, very meaningful to us and just made a big impact on our lives. And Eden Valley probably holds one of the most precious places in our hearts, and not just hearing the words Eden Valley, but the people that we met here are just so precious to us even to this day. And sometimes I have to admit we wonder what life would have been like if we had stayed here. We were here for 3 years. When our first child was born, we felt like we needed a little bit less responsibility for a while. We do believe God led us because He led us to start a ministry in Quebec, Canada for almost 20 years. But you can't help but ask yourself, what would it have been like if we had stayed here and been here to this day, you know? But God had other plans, and we're very grateful because we would never choose to be led in a way other than God has led us when we see the end from the beginning.
Thank you, Wayne.
Oh, is there like one especially memorable thing?
Well, there are so many memories, but I will say that there was one that really stood out in our minds in God just protecting this campus in a powerful way, and that was the fire in the year 2000. I don't know what the recent fire was like, but I remember that one, that it was coming over the mountain, North Peak, it was behind North Peak and South Peak, and the flames were just, I don't know how many feet tall. They were just really, really tall. And I remember a specific picture that actually it was nobody at Eden Valley that had taken it, but it was a news reporter that took a picture of the flames just leaping over the church. Of course, the flames were behind the church on the mountain, but it was the picture of the church with the flames. And it was just coming down the mountain at a very fast speed. We were sure that it would destroy, maybe the whole campus, if not at least some of the buildings. And to see God cause that fire to stop just at the time that it arrived at the edge of campus was amazing to us. We were just very thankful. We were very grateful. It definitely required some faith to believe that God is going to protect the campus. And so that definitely stands out in our mind in a very powerful way. But I think another thing that just was really a venture in faith was to see God's people uniting to be more, to have more of a spirit of unity. That was something that just brought us a lot of joy and strengthened our faith as well.
Amen. That's very important. Okay, next we have Pastor Frank Fournier. And he was the president when I came. And the one thing that I really respected him for was his balance. And, I grew up in a fairly legalistic home. And this was like the first time I had heard righteousness by faith message. And it just changed our whole Christian experience here on campus. So, Frank, you served from 2003 to 2015, and then you left us, and then you came back as our pastor and our chaplain. So tell us the first time you came to Eden Valley. Were you on the board then?
What?
Had you been on the board?
Yes.
Okay, so you guys came to Colorado from Tennessee. Tell
yes.
us about that.
I was working for OCI as the vice president. It was a cushy job as far as I was concerned because I was pastor over perhaps at the time 50 ministries in however many countries, because I've had the privilege of preaching in 50 countries at least. In any case, Wayne, who was president at the time, called me and asked me if I would be interested in being president of Eden Valley. Do you remember the answer?
Yes, it was no.
Yes, it was no. That's right. I was not the least bit interested. And so, but I made a mistake. He asked me if I would pray about it, and I said yes. And I never should have said yes. but I did begin to pray about it, and I couldn't play games with God. If I'm going to pray, I'm going to be serious. And so I was serious. And I was asking the Lord if that was in his cards, if that's what he wanted us to do. And anytime people at Eden Valley would ask me if I had made up my mind, because this was the spring of 2002, and through the summer they kept calling whether I had decided one way or another, and I kept saying, if the Lord hits me over the head with a 2x4, then I will come, but if he doesn't, then I'm not coming. Well, eventually I came to a board meeting, and this was early October, and they cornered me into a little room over there in the village, all the staff, at least that's how I remember it. Now, I don't know about remembering stuff and how other people remember it. My wife and I go through the same experiences, and invariably, we don't remember the same things. I don't know what's wrong with her memory, but it doesn't work. Well, anyways, I'm in this little room, and they asked me if I had considered being president, and I said, no, unless the Lord hits me over the head, I'm not coming. Well, there was a young lady there, and she's sitting in the room here. I don't know where she is. Ruthia's here. And anyways, after the meeting, Ruthia took me aside and told me a story. She said, I went up that mountain that way, and I went up to the top, and I told the Lord, I'm not coming down off this mountain unless you tell me whether to marry Michael or not. So she was up there 3 hours, if I remember the story correctly, and she came off the mountain. She started going down. Then she got halfway down and said, what am I doing here? I told the Lord I'm not coming down unless he tells me whether to marry Michael or not. And so she got on her knees again. And then he spoke to her, and he said, I gave you enough evidence. Make a decision. And as soon as she said that, I knew what God wanted me to do. He had given me a lot of evidence. I just didn't want to hear it. I just didn't want to see it. I wasn't coming. I wasn't interested in all the rest. But when I looked at the evidence, thank you, Ruthia. When I looked at the evidence, it was evident. And so we came.
So what is one thing that you'll never forget with your experience here?
Yeah, you know, she's asking other people what their visions were. She knows enough not to ask me that because she knows I'm not a visionary. But I did come here having realized that at Eden Valley the stipend was very low, and I couldn't understand why the stipend should be so low. But you can understand. If you're in self-supporting work, you're always struggling for money. You never can get yourself to raise everyone's stipends a little higher, it seems like, because we're always needing money. And I thought, no, this has got to change. There's a God in heaven, and he's got all the money in the world. And so I came here thinking that we were going to do something. And praise God. He inspired me to do this, I believe. And we were able to change the stipend by $100 a month 3 years in a row, so that in 3 years we'd raise the stipends by $300 monthly, which I thought was wonderful. But then comes the story in answer to Lisa's question here. One day I went up the mountain after everything had been going very, very well, and I asked the Lord to glorify himself at Eden Valley. This was my prayer. As a matter of fact, I still pray this prayer. I've been praying this all this time.
asking that the Lord would glorify himself at Eden Valley. I believe he's doing it. He's doing it. Eden Valley is a fantastic place today, and I really do appreciate it. Anyways, I asked him to do that, knowing that he couldn't do it unless he humbled me. And so then I asked him to humble me. Don't do that. In the book Early Writings, page 120, it says, do not ask the Lord to humble you, because if he does, it will be painful. It will be terrible, I think it says, in righteousness. So don't go asking the Lord to humble you. The Bible says, humble yourself beneath the mighty hand of God. Well, I'd read Early Writings before, but somehow it had gone over my head. I don't remember that. And so I asked the Lord to humble me. As soon as he did, everything went south. Everything went south. We closed the assisted living center, the education department, which was doing fantastic because Michael was doing a tremendous work. He married Ruthia, and when they got married, they got a call to be pastor in Arkansas, I guess it was. And so the education department closed, and for 6 months we had no lifestyle guests in the lifestyle center. Everything was a mess. I don't have time to go through the whole story. But the thing that struck me the most throughout all that time, when we came to the place when we were bankrupt. I mean, bankrupt. We'd had $500,000 in the bank. It was a cushion. I thought we can handle this. I know what's going on. The Lord is humbling me. He's going to rescue us. We've got a cushion. We can wait it out. Well, the Lord has more patience than I do. And he waited longer than I did. And he brought us to the very brink of disaster. Absolutely. Everyone was calling us, telling us we were going bankrupt, telling us we only have 4 months to live. You're going to be closing Eden Valley. It's your fault, your failure, and all that sort of stuff. So gathered the staff together one day, and the staff knew everything that was going on, but we discussed what was going on. And then my advice to the whole staff was, listen, God will help us, but he won't help us unless we help ourselves. So I asked the staff to sacrifice in order for all our prayers to be heard in heaven. And eight families, if I'm remembering right, eight families decided they would take no stipend for 1 year. And, of course, I was one of those eight families. Then the rest of the staff here did all they could. Some could take half a stipend, some a quarter, some three quarters, whatever it was. Everyone did the best they could. Everyone sacrificed. And that's when things began to turn around. And so to make, like I say, the long story short, by the time it was all over, where we had lost $500,000, the Lord had given us $1,500,000. And we were back in business, and the Lord has been blessing and blessing and blessing ever since.
Amen. Those are faith ventures, aren't they? How many of you have sacrificed to the point of bankruptcy for God? Yeah, I don't know that I could do that either. So then, John Davidson came to be with us. Tell us how you got here.
Well, it started about 55 years ago. You know how the Lord leads you? Everybody got real quiet. I see a lady looking up. Yeah, I know how that happens. And so there's a chapter here. I'm not going to read all of it in Isaiah chapter 6. Frank, you maybe know this. Possibly. I know you know it because he reads this guy right here. I look up to him. I will tell you, I look up to this guy. He is a good man, godly man. Do you know we stand on other people's shoulders? We do. Don't think that you're here all alone. You have people who were here before you. And we stand on their shoulders. And I'm thankful that I'm standing on his shoulders. Anyway, Isaiah chapter 6, I'm not going to read it all, but it's a story of the throne room of God. The throne room of God. Isaiah is there, and an angel came. He said, I'm an unworthy man. And an angel picked a coal up and took the coal and put it on his lips. And then there's a voice that is speaking there. He said, I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? They're going to send one of us to go for him. And Isaiah said, here I am, send me. And so that's why I say 55 years ago, the Lord has been calling me all my life. But there comes a time when you have to say, here I am, send me. He doesn't take away our freedom of choice. We get to choose to serve him. And so I was in the self-supporting work before I came here. I owned a business so that then I could do the Lord's work. I just owned the business. I didn't do anything there. My wife did all the work. And that's kind of normal. But during the process, I knew a man who was doing some work over at Castle Valley. And he asked me to come over and get some material and to bring it to Eden Valley. So bring one of our trucks over there to pick up this material. Actually, that's the first time I met Janet. Janet was serving over there. Janet is an amazing organizer. If any of you know Pastor Louis Torres, anybody know Louis Torres? Personal friend of mine, he told me that she is the most organized person you will ever work with. What a team. Frank and Janet. Shoulders to stand on. Anyway, I got that's where Janet and I first met. We only worked together for about a day, I think, Janet. About a day, loading that material. I brought it over here, and I met Lisa, but I'd met Lisa prior to that. And so I brought the material here and met the maintenance guy, and he said, park here, we'll unload it. And Lisa said, let's walk the campus and let me show you the campus, which I hadn't been here in a couple of years probably. And so she was taking me from building to building, and every building we left, she said, hey, by the way, do you know we don't have a president here? I'm like, well, okay. Every building. And finally I got to thinking, why is she telling me this? And I don't know if you remember that. Well, yeah, that's how it was. And then she asked me to come and do a worship service, a chapel. And I'd been to, I told her, well, I'm coming back from Panama, doing a wedding there, and then I would come and do a chapel. And then one of the people asked me to come and speak here at this church. And Gary Ross, who was working with Janet over at Castle Valley when I loaded that material, his wife had been working here helping on the farm. And when I spoke here that Sabbath, we ate at the fellowship meal, and Linda Ross said to me, she said, you know, you should be president here. And I smiled. And I showed her a picture. We'd just been to Florida. And I had a picture on my phone of the space shuttle. I took it like I was outside. It was a space shot. And I took this picture as though you're really out in space looking at the shuttle. And I showed Linda that picture. And I said, Linda, I think it's more likely that I'm going to get a ride on the space shuttle before I become president here. However, Lisa called me one day. I had her number in my phone because of some things, and I saw her name come up calling, and I thought, oh, boy. And so when the Lord said to Isaiah, who will go? He's asking, who will go? Isaiah was not filling out a resume. Isaiah was not sending out letters. The Lord came and asked him. And so that has been my creed, not my mission statement. My mission statement we'll talk about tonight. If you want to come back tonight at 7, we'll talk about the mission statement. But my creed is to go where God calls you. Go where he calls. And so that was here. For that time. And one of the worst days in my life, Lisa, was that May morning at chapel when I had to tell the staff that I was leaving.
Yeah, it was hard for us too. But thank you for sharing that. You know, it does take sacrifice sometimes, but every single one of the past presidents have had the privilege of serving here in God's work and to lead out in it. We have a short video. Lowell Hargraves did send a very short video that we're going to watch. He was the president from 1991 to 1993. So if we could play that video. Yeah, we were going to try to do like a Zoom and have them come, but our internet connection is too bad here. So he sent the video.
Greetings, Eden Valley family, alumni, and friends. My name is Pastor Lowell Hargraves, an evangelist with Amazing Facts Ministries and the director of AFCO Africa. I was president there at Eden Valley from 1991 to 1993, some 30 years ago now. Eden Valley is special to me because of the place situated there in the foothills of the beautiful Rocky Mountains. I loved hiking the trails, hiking the canal road. You could do it back then. And, of course, climbing north and south peaks. I came to Eden Valley in 1987 as a single man and was assigned to the building crew working for Reiner Betcher, who was at that time completing the Lifestyle Center. So I had the opportunity to lay the tile there in the basement, putting in the sauna and other projects as we completed that building. And then Reiner Betcher and myself and other construction workers, we built the duplex and then the sixplex. Eden Valley is special to me because of the people. It was there on campus where I courted my sweetheart, the daughter of Reiner Betcher, Sandra. And, of course, during our courtship, nothing bothered me. No burdens bothered me during that time. After about a year of courting and engagement, we were married right there in the beautiful chapel on the campus. We established our first home at Eden Valley in the duplex, the north side of the duplex. I believe that's the other side of where John and Connie Roski are living now. Our two children were both born there in that duplex right there on campus. You can see how Eden Valley has many memories for us. We have still many friends from our days at Eden Valley. I suppose the only people that are still there today that were there when we were there would be John and Connie Roski. And if you're watching this, John and Connie, a special greetings to you from Sandra and I. Eden Valley was also special to us because of the principles of Christian lifestyle, health reform, dress reform, recreation reform, those other reforms that self-supporting work is known for. And I enjoyed teaching those principles in classes that we held there on campus. After getting married, I was asked to be the personnel director, human resources, they call it today. And then sometime after that, I was asked to be the education director at Eden Valley. And that's where I got fully engaged in community outreach, taking the students out into the community, doing surveys, giving Bible studies. I think I enjoyed outreach as much as the students did. And then I was asked eventually to be the general vice president there at Eden Valley. You know how it is in self-supporting work. If you are willing and show some aptitude, they will load many responsibilities on you. It's quite easy to begin wearing too many hats. And then in October of 1991, when Wayne Dole resigned the board asked me to take over the leadership of Eden Valley. That was quite a challenge for a young man that was not quite yet 30 years old, and I'm sure I made many mistakes. But God helped us to move forward. During my time as president, we established a mission outpost among the Tarahumara Indians of northern Mexico that was led by David and Virginia Cruz, who were graduates of our World Missions training that we were conducting then. And Eden Valley is special to me because of missions. For many years, Eden Valley was famous for establishing missions and outposts in various countries of the world. And while I was there, I had the privilege of going on a number of mission trips. In fact, it was in July of 1993 when my wife and I went to Ukraine to do a one-month evangelistic meeting. Eden Valley sent us there for this mission, and we enjoyed so much doing evangelism. That was right after the fall of communism, and you can understand the tremendous interest then in the gospel. We came back to campus with invitations to do evangelistic meetings in seven other cities, and we had a burning desire to get involved in full-time evangelism. And so it was in October of 1993 when I resigned as president of Eden Valley to join Amazing Facts as a lay evangelist. Amazing Facts agreed to try us out for 1 year. That was almost 30 years ago. To my Eden Valley family and friends today, I would say to you, enjoy the mountains if you're there on campus, the scenery, the natural setting. Enjoy the friendships. Don't let little differences rob you of lasting friendships there on campus and into eternity. I also want to challenge you to embrace and exemplify the principles of self-supporting work, those Christian principles. Exemplify them in your own life. And I want to challenge you to get involved in missions locally or wherever God may send you in His wide harvest field. And so to all of you, this special weekend, I wish you God's richest blessings.
So thank you very much for your service, past presidents. I think that, as John said, we each stand on the previous leaders. And God has led us thus far, and He will lead us to the end. So I just want to thank you so much for your participation in the growth of Eden Valley, your encouragement, your prayers, your financial support, all of everybody who's ever been interested in Eden Valley in whatever capacity has added brick by brick by brick the mission here. So Pastor John, if you could pray for us, and we'll end our Sabbath school, and then we'll have a short break.
I thought we were going to have another music. Clayton?
Oh, are we?
Are we doing another music right now? Yes, okay.
Okay, yeah. Well, you guys are beautiful singers, so come on up.